Okay, so tonight we're going to be studying a very minor character. Well, not the most minor character, but definitely minor in the sense that there's really not much written about him. It's funny, I think the only other one that was harder to find material on was Itamar. Elzaphan was not easy, but since he does show up kind of in the background in actually a few different places, so we'll be able to do a little bit. And we're going to center our study tonight on this week's parasha and on one central question about this week's parasha, which finds its own variations in other places as well. Okay? So, who is this Elzaphan? So, one of the most prominent things that happens in Parashat Shmini, of course, is the death, the tragic death of the sons of Aaron HaKohen, Nadav and Avihu. And immediately following their death, the show must go on, right? It's the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, and there's still stuff to do. So you can't leave their bodies there. It's not really their bodies, it's just their clothing almost, because their bodies have been burnt up. And someone needs to take care of this. So Moshe calls out, Vayikra Moshe el Mishael ve'el Elzaphan b'nei Uziel, dod Aharon, v'yomer aleihem kirvu su et achichem et b'nei HaKodesh el michutz l'machane. So, Mishael and Elzaphan, who are the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aharon, okay? Uziel is a brother of Amram, younger brother of Amram. And so they are asked to remove Nadav and Avihu. And they do so by taking them out by their garments, which is probably a reference to the idea that there were only garments. The bodies were completely burnt up. And so Moshe then turns to the sons of Aaron, the remaining sons, Elazar and Itamar, and to Aaron himself, and says, you're not allowed to mourn right now. It's not the time. We can't mourn, and you also can't become Tamei to your brothers. And so finish what we have to do, and everybody's going to mourn your son and your brothers. Okay? All right. Any questions on this story? Nothing. Everything is clear. Crystal clear. No.
I guess, Rav Dani, I guess why Moshe called the Uziel children and not the other siblings or the other members of the Levi group.
Right. Why specifically Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uziel? Were there any other well-known, prominent sons of Levi or grandsons of Levi or great grandsons of Levi that could have been used? Well, who were the other brothers of Amram? There was Amram. There was Uziel. Who else was there? Kahat.
Kahat.
And Yitzhar, right? Yeah. So we have other ones. And what about their kids and who they might be? Okay, so that's my central question of yours. Why are Mishael and Elzaphan singled out to be the ones to take Nadav and Avihu out of the Mishkan? Okay, fair question. Why the two of them? Now, first of all, does Elzaphan or Mishael, do they show up anywhere else in Chumash or in Tanakh? So the truth is that Mishael is one of those names. There's a few of them, right? One of those names that shows up for two different people. In Tanakh, there is another Mishael. Who's the other Mishael?
We're in the story of Daniel.
Right. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They're the three who were put into the fire, right? Mimicking the story with Avraham Avinu. But they were put into the fire by Nebuchadnezzar and they survived, right? That's Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I don't know anybody who says that the Mishael over there is the same as the Mishael over here. Wouldn't be terribly surprised if somebody said it, but I'm not aware. So it seems that there were two different Mishaels. I don't know of another Elzaphan, but here we go. Here's an Elzaphan. Sometimes he's called Elitzaphan, but it's pretty clear that it's the same person over here, because he's a Ben Uziel. You know, the chances are we can be pretty confident that a Levi, who's the son of Uziel, named Elitzafan, is the same as the Elzafan we talked about above, even though it's a different pronunciation of the name. And over here in Sefer Bamidbar, at the beginning of Parashat Bamidbar, it says, "V'si beit av l'mishpachat mishpachot ha-kehati Elitzafan ben Uziel." Okay? So he becomes the prince, the chief of Mishpachat Kehat. Okay? So Kehat, who had several children, right? So I actually was unclear before. I think I mentioned that Kehat was a brother of Amram. Kehat's not the brother of Amram. Kehat is the father of Amram, right? Kehat is the father, or the great-grandfather, whatever you want. And then he has children, Amram, Yitzhar, Uziel. Okay? And I think it's in that order, in fact.
Hebron.
What was that, David?
I think Hebron. I think. I'm not sure.
There's a fourth.
I think his name is Hebron. I'm not sure.
Whose name is Hebron?
The brother, the fourth brother.
The fourth brother. That might be. I'm not sure. But either way, we do see that Elzafan is sufficiently important that he actually basically becomes a nasi of Levi, right? Kehat is a major family of Levi, and he becomes the head of that family. Okay? So Elzafan becomes pretty important, even though we don't really know anything about him from the text, as far as we can tell. Okay? Now, he does come up in one other context. Does anybody know where else he comes up? In a very important context. I mentioned already that you had, you know, the sons of Kehat are Amram, Yitzhar, and Uziel. Now, who's the son of Yitzhar?
Korach.
A very important, prominent son of Yitzhar. Martin, did you want to jump in?
Korach.
Korach, there we go. Rashi at the beginning of Parashat Korach says, "And what induced Korach to quarrel with Moses? He was envious of the princely dignity held by Elzafan, the son of Uziel, whom Moses had appointed prince over the sons of Kehat, although this was by the express command of God." Okay? So Korach was upset about this. Why? Korach argued thus, "My father and his brothers were four in number." Here you go. Sons of Kehat were Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. Uziel is actually the fourth. Uziel is the youngest. As to Amram, the eldest, his two sons of themselves assumed high dignity. One is Moshe, one of them is Aaron. Who is entitled to receive the second? My father is Yitzhar. He's the second oldest. Isn't that I am the son of Yitzhar, who is the second to Amram amongst the brothers? And yet he is appointed as prince, the son of his brother, who is the youngest of all of them. He went down to Uziel. I hereby protest against him and will undo his decision. What did he do? He arose and assembled 250 men, etc., etc., etc. So you see that Elzafan plays an important role in another dispute, in another major dispute between Korach and Moshe. He's basically the impetus, though not the pretext, for Korach's rebellion. The pretext for Korach's rebellion is Aharon. Korach is arguing that Aharon should not be the Kohen Gadol. Also maybe arguing that Moshe should not be the leader. But the real reason, the real thing that got to him was in fact the fact that the Nesiut was given to Elzafan or Elitzafan, the son of Uziel, who is a younger first cousin of him. So I want to mention also, by the way, the Gur Arye Rashi points this out, that Korach's real problem was the Nesiut of Elzafan. That was his real problem, but he argued about the Kahuna. No mention is made in the text about Elzafan. That's you know, I don't want to say it's a rabbinic invention, but it's something that the rabbis, you know, discovered. It wasn't mentioned in the text. So how do we explain that? So the Gur Arye explains and says, well, he can't actually get up and argue about the Nesiut of Elzafan, because then it looks completely self-serving, right? Then it's just Korach getting annoyed that he was passed over, and that's not going to fly. He needs to go higher. He needs to go to Aaron and accuse Aaron himself of being, the beneficiary of nepotism on the part of Moshe. Okay, now what I want to do now is I'd like to take a look at three different possible approaches in order to understand why Elzafan, I'm not going to talk about Mishael so much, why Elzafan at least was chosen to take Nadav and Avihu out, and why he was chosen perhaps as the Nasi. Although I'm not sure we're going to, the first approach that we're going to see is not going to answer that second question. But before we even continue, does anybody want to offer a suggestion why Mishael and Eltzafan are chosen specifically to remove the bodies of Nadav and Avihu? Hazard a guess. Good. Then you're in the same position that I was when I started this. I had no idea. No idea. No clue at all. Don't know anything about Eltzafan. Don't know anything about Mishael. They're perfect minor characters. We don't know anything about them. So almost everything we're about to see will be new. Are you ready? Give me thumbs up if you're ready. All right, let's do it. So the first one is relatively simple. It's a technical answer, but still nice. It's nechmad to see. The Abar Benel, I think, is the first one to say it in these terms. He says, "Sivad Mishael v'Altzafan shikatzu lehechal l'seita tametim v'fisha Aharon u'banav hayu b'chlal al nafshot meit lo yavo." At this point in time, Nadav and Avihu cannot go in and get Mishael and Eltzafan. Why? Why can they not go in? What's the reason? Now, is that the right, Mom, that's a good answer, but is it the right answer? Let's think about this for a second. Can
they're
a Kohen...
Not one is if they're cousins.
No, they're not cousins.
No, we're talking about why they're don't... Well, let me be clear. Why don't Elazar and Itamar go in themselves?
Because they're Kohen, yes.
But wait a second. Is it truly the case that Kohen cannot be Metame himself for a brother? Is that the case?
No, it's not.
No, it's, one of the Zion,
no, it's not the case.
Karvim.
Yeah, he's one of the Zion Karvim. You can absolutely be Metame yourself for a brother. So why can Elazar and Itamar not go in?
Not while you're working? Because what?
They're busy. Exactly. Thank you, y'all. Because they're busy. They're in the middle of the Avodat Kohanim. It's the first day of, it's their first day on the job. They can't become Tamei on the first day of their job. They're busy. They're al nafshot meit lo yavo. So why can't Moshe go in himself? Because he's Kohen a Kohanim. So he's kind of like the foreman at this point. Even though he's no longer formally a Kohen, he's still got that stat, his status. Velaze, tziva le'elu shehu b'nei dod Aharon, u'ba'ava hayu im hamitim. So he says two things. He says, number one, they're first cousins, right? They're the sons of, they're actually, what are they? They're second cousins, no? Aaron is first cousins with Uziel. I'm very bad at this. Somebody needs to help me. Aaron is first cousins with Uziel, which makes Nadav and Avihu, what relationship do they have with Mishael and Eltzafan?
No, they're first cousins. Uziel, no,
Uziel is his cousin.
They are first cousins.
His uncle.
Uziel's uncle. They're first cousins.
Uncle.
They are the sons of the uncle of Aharon.
They're first cousins.
No, but Aharon is first cousins with Uziel, no?
No.
Uziel is a dog.
Oh, sorry. You're right. No. So Aharon is first cousins with Mishael and Eltzafan.
Right.
Yeah. Aharon is first cousins with Mishael and Eltzafan because, yeah. So then what does that make Nadav and Avihu to Mishael and Eltzafan? Nadav and Avihu are the sons of his first cousin. I have no idea what that's called.
It's first cousins once removed, according to the Duckworth Lewis method. There are the
okay. And how many degrees removed from Kevin Bacon?
First cousins once removed.
Okay, fine. First cousins once removed. Okay.
Now,
like we said, they're not the only first cousins. But Abba Benel seems to insert the idea that they were ba'ava, kemo'achim. They were like brothers. Because at the end of the day, what does it say? It actually says, se'u et achichem. Now, this could be an achichem, like, you know, we're all brothers, right? But the Abrabanel seems to say they were like brothers because they had a good relationship. So it seems that they had some kind of relationship between them. And maybe that's why they were chosen to take them out. And perhaps no one else had that kind of relationship with Nadav and Avihu. And in fact, Yamek Davar, the Netziv, he says, Bnei Uziel dod Aharon, kvar nidrash b'torat konim l'maychtiv dod Aharon. Why is it mentioned specifically? We know who Uziel is. Why do we need to find out that he's dod Aharon? L'fi apshat mashmaot dod kemo yedidut. Dod here doesn't just mean uncle, it also means yedid. Milashon kitovim dodecha miyayin. Right? Your love is better than wine. Ubalafarish, lama kara lebnei Uziel yoter mibnei Yitar. Why call? Like, this is what we're asking. Why call the bnei Uziel instead of the bnei Yitar? Because he knows, who is he talking about? He knows that there are those who are jealous of Aaron and his couple. Who's that? That's Korach, right? And if they were to go in and take Nadav and Abihu, it could have looked as if they were almost rejoicing over the death of Aaron's sons, Chas v'Shalom. Al-Kain, Karal, Ibnei Uziel, She'adashu, O Evereel, Mitzta'er, B'tzaro, because they know that they have a good relationship and that they feel bad, and it will look better. Okay, so here we go. So now the Nitziv has so far supplied the same reason that Rav Benel did, that they had a good relationship. That's why Mishael and Al-Tzafan are chosen. But now he adds on that they're also known as being humble. How do we know that Mishael is humble? Because between Mishael and Al-Tzafan, who's older?
Right.
Well, we don't know for sure, but in terms of the way that they're mentioned, it seems Mishael is older. Mm. And yet, Al-Tzafan is the one who's chosen, and we don't have any record of any fighting. It could have been, but we don't have any record of any arguments between Mishael and Al-Tzafan. For the record, you can add this to the list of younger brothers who surpass the older brothers. It's an interesting list. V'hu lo ir'er al-zeh. Okay, he doesn't argue about that. V'gam Al-Tzafan, shmo Eli-Tzafan, uchtiv chaser yud. His real name is Eli-Tzafan, as it's written in Bamidbar, but here it's written b'li yud. Why? Because the removal of the yud indicates that he was doing it with humility, with great humility. So the Nitziv offers two answers. One, that there was a loving relationship between the Bnei Uziel and Bnei Aharon. And number two, that Mishael and Al-Tzafan were unique in that they were humble. Okay? We're going to return to that much later. The second answer, though, relates to the Bnei Uziel as being almost the spiritual descendants of Aharon. Okay? So what does he say? So what does this say? So here we find in the Mechilta and in several Midrashim, on this pasuk it says, "Vayikra Moshe Mishael v'Al-Tzafan Bnei Uziel Dod Aharon." Mimashma shenemar uvnei kahat amram v'yitzar v'chevron v'uziel eni yodeh shuziel dod Aharon. We know that he is. We know that he's the dod Aharon. Ma tamu lomar dod Aharon. Makish ma'ase uziel ma'ase Aharon. Ma'aharon v'deif shalom v'Yisrael af uziel v'deif shalom v'Yisrael. So the Mechilta says that the key over here is that Uziel is referred to as Dod Aharon, and what we're meant to glean from that is what?
That his midot were like Aharon's.
Exactly. That Aharon and Uziel are on the same wavelength in terms of being Rodfei Shalom. Just so that we see this, because it's important. Pirkei Avot this week talks about Aharon being a Rodfei Shalom. Minayin sha'aron rodef shalom v'Yisrael shenemar v'yukol ha'eda ki geva aron v'yifku et aron shloshim yom kol beit Yisrael. That they cried for Aharon. Who cried for Aharon? Kol beit Yisrael. All of the house of Israel. Uba Moshe omer v'yifku b'nei Yisrael et Moshe. Ubi b'nei ma b'chu et aron shloshim kol beit Yisrael. Moshe la b'chu ela b'nei Yisrael v'lo kol beit Yisrael. Because Aharon was known as a Rodev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, and Moshe simply was not. Moshe was the bad guy parent, right? He was the more harsh parent. He was the one who gave the Tochacha and who gave out the rules. And Aharon was the one who tried to create love and peace amongst the Bnei Israel. And apparently this was ascribed at least to Uziel. Now, does this take us all the way to our answer of why Mishael and Al-Tzafan? David, I see you're shaking your head. Why not?
Because it's not enough. It's not a sufficient answer.
Because it's only Uziel, right? So the Siftei Kohen, this is not the Shach on the Shulchan Aruch, as I always mentioned. This is the Siftei Kohen, one of the Tamidim of the Arizal. So usually a very mystical commentary. But over here, not so mystical. He says that Moshe commented to them, Atem kefi erkechem she'en gedoli mikem. He says, you, Mishael and Tafan, you know, you're very noble. You're very dignified. Hema yuz ganei keuna. Nadav and Avihu were Sganei Kehuna, Batem Sganei Leviya. They were considered leaders amongst the Levim. Said, I need to find people who are as great in Leviya as Nadav and Avihu were great in Kehuna. And then he continues, he says, Shayodom el Aaron, Kamoshe Aaron, Rodef Shalom, etc., etc., etc. But then it says, Ha'avot domim zelaze vechein habanim. Im kain, suot achichem domim lachem. So, Rabbi, what's he saying? What's the Sifte Kohen saying? That ultimately the reason that Mishael and Tzafan are chosen is because they
are like the father. The fathers are the same, and the sons are going to be the same.
Because they embody the Midah of Shalom that Uziel embodied, and that in turn Aharon and presumably Nadav and Avihu also embodied. In other words, it's their attachment to the Midah of peace that allows them to appoints them to be the ones to take Nadav and Avihu out. He also finds a remez in their names. Mishael Gematria Af Berachamim. Another one, I didn't do it. I don't know. I think it's Af Berachamim. Together, I guess, equals Mishael. If anybody wants to figure this out really quickly, that would be great. And El Tzafan, this one's a little bit clearer. Shemitah Haitabot Svuna Lahem Mimamad Har Sinai. What's this talking about? Why were Nadav and Avihu, why did they die? That's a loaded question. Why did they die?
So it was a tzafun.
Well, the Midrash. Right, so the Torah says because they brought an Esh Zara Asher Lo Tivalta. The Midrash adds on about six different reasons for why they did that. And why it was so bad that they did that. And then, just for fun, okay, we have two additional reasons for why they died. Number one, because Aharon did the Chet HaEgel. Rashi mentions that they died as a result of Aharon doing the Chet HaEgel, that Hashem almost punished Aharon through his children, but only through half of them, two out of the four. And then, if that wasn't enough, also they died because they were eating and drinking and being merry during Ma'amad Har Sinai, and that was inappropriate, and that's what he's talking about over here. Sfunalem Ma'amad Har Sinai Shneimar Ve'Atzilei Bnei Yisrael Lo Shalach Yadom Mikan Shayu Ruyim L'Shlichat Yad. They were the Atzilei Bnei Yisrael who were a little bit too frivolous at Har Sinai, and they deserved to be punished. But Hashem didn't want to do a punishment at Har Sinai, so He decided to do it strangely at Hanukkah Mishkan. I'm not sure why that's better, but I guess enough was enough. He said, you know, I have to do something. Now, Val Kol Haida Yiktsov Shaya Katzaf Ala Kol Lefi Shehem Garmule Lamalka De Lo Leiti Lamatronita Vachechem Kol Beit Yisrael Yivkush Lechsiba Shata Siman Rada Sholcha. You know, this whole thing is very, very bad. So I think this is also, by the way, a remez to El Tzafan. The Yiktsov, it also sounds like the word El Tzafan. I want to mention just a nice little touch over here, okay, that I want to add on, which is this phrase of Aharon being a Rodef Shalom is learned from where? Basically from these three words, correct? From Kol Beit Yisrael? Do you agree? The fact that Aharon is mourned by Kol Beit Yisrael and not only Kol Bnei Yisrael is an indication that Aharon is an Oev Shalom and Rodef Shalom. Agreed?
Yeah.
Well, take a look at what Moshe says to Nadav and Avihu, and to Aaron and Elazar and Itamar, that they should not cry, but who will? Va'achechem kol Beit Yisrael yivku atas reifa, which indicates to me that Nadav and Avihu also inherited that midah of peace, because they were also mourned by all Beit Yisrael, not only Bnei Yisrael. Fair? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Okay.
Doesn't Beit Yisrael usually refer to women?
It usually includes women, which in the Midrash there, in fact, it mentions that Aaron's speciality, or specialty in Americanese, was actually creating harmony in the home.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
thought
Beit Yaakov
is usually referred to.
It is, but the Beit part, I think, is the... Yeah. Okay. Now, third approach. Third approach is a very nice approach. I found it this week. This is an approach by Rav Uri Sharkey, okay, a rabbi here in Israel, who has a lot of nice essays, specifically, actually, I found on a lot of minor characters. I've been able to use them a bunch of times, although they're not labeled that way. And he builds this approach in the following way. He says, why are Mishael and El Tzafan chosen? He says, I wasn't totally clear before. There is one other place that Mishael and El Tzafan possibly appear. Okay, before we get to it, does anybody know where it is? There's one other place where Mishael and El Tzafan, under the radar, show up. And in fact, it's actually in Yoni Dioma relevant very soon. Anybody know? Okay, once I tell you, you're going to know. Once I tell you, you're going to remember. Let's examine for a second what happened to Nadav and Avihu. The Gemara in Yuma says, why did Nadav and Avihu die? Ketitani Rabbi Eliezer Omer lo metu b'nei Aaron el al shehoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. Okay, this is one of the two answers that Rashi actually mentions in the Parsha. I told you that the Midrash gives like six different reasons. Rashi only mentions two. He mentions the fact that they might have been drunk, because the text indicates that they might have been drunk, because the prohibition for drinking comes right afterwards. And Rashi mentions this reason, Shehoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban, that they paskened, so to speak, in front of Moshe. They didn't ask Moshe or Aaron, should we bring this esh? They just did it. My drush, v'natnu b'Aaron hakoin esh al mizbeach, hafa b'sha esh, yiradit min shamayim, mitzvah l'havi min ahedyot. They came up with this idea that even though the fire is coming down from the sky, there is a mitzvah to bring a man-made fire. Now, were they right or were they wrong?
Right.
They were right. In fact, on any other day, except for this day, what they did is the halakha. It would have been completely correct to do what they did. It's just that on this day, that wasn't the tzivui. There was no tzivui. So they came up with this idea by themselves. It happened to be a correct idea. But nevertheless, the fact that they didn't run it by Moshe and Aaron first, that was their sin. Okay, fine. Now, if we were going to...
One other day, they would have been wrong. That was at Tara Carmel.
What, with Eliyahu and Avi?
Yeah, once the fire came down.
That's true, but everything was weird on Har Carmel, yeah. So I think that a good way to figure out why Mishael and El Tzafan would be appropriate would be if in somehow Mishael and El Tzafan redeemed this act of Nadav and Avihu. Is that fair to say? If in some way Mishael and El Tzafan are related to, in some way, fixing what Nadav and Avihu did, then that would be very nice. Okay? So here's the other place where Mishael and El Tzafan show up. And Bamidbar it says, Vahi anashim asherahem tmeim lenefesh adam lo yachlu lasot ha-pesach bayomahu vayikavu yomei v'nei Moshev l'fnei Aaron bayomahu. Okay, there were people who the only other day where they celebrate, the only other Pesach that they celebrated in the Midbar after Pesach Mitzrayim was the year afterwards, the second Pesach. Okay? And it happened to be that some people missed out. They missed out because they were tmeim. Vayomu anashim ha-im ha-ilav anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. These people who are Tamei come forward and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, why should we miss out? Why must we miss out? Can we have an opportunity to do something? And of course, Moshe turns to Hashem, entreaties to Hashem, and Hashem says, yes, Dafka, I meant to mention that, Pesach Sheni. And so Pesach Sheni came into being. Now, who wants to take a guess at who these Tmeim Lenefesh Adam were?
Abayt,
Tzafan,
and Mishael.
So the Gemara in Sukkah says that Ha'osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. They're trying to figure out where we learn the principle that if a person is already involved in a mitzvah and another mitzvah comes to him, that he doesn't have to do the second one. So it says, Mehacha nafka, mehatam nafka, ditanya vahi anashim ashrayut meim l'nafshadam, otam anashim mi hayu. Who were these people? No se arono shel Yosef hayu. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Aglili. So one opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglili says these are the people who are carrying the aron of Yosef, who of course were tamei lenefesh adam because they were carrying bones. But Rabbi Akiva omer Mishael v'El Tzafan hayu sheoskin v'Nadav v'Avihu. Mishael v'El Tzafan, who were busy with the kvura of Nadav and Avihu. Okay.
Do we know the dates from anywhere of when this incident happened?
That's a perfect question. So do we know the dates?
Sure we do.
So we do and we don't, right? Martin, what was the date?
So it's either Rosh Chodesh Nisan or the 8th of Nisan.
So it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Seems to make a big difference, right? So, which is why Rabbi Yitzchak says, "Im no se Aaron Oshel Yosef ayu kriyu yuchal nitayr." If there were no se Aaron Oshel Yosef, they could have been come tahor already. They've been carrying it for a long time. They had paused, right? They were still at Har Sinai while all this was happening. They were in the same area. They didn't have to be carrying the bones anymore. They should already be tahor. Im Yishael v'al tzafanayu also yuchal nayu litayr. Says they should also be tahor. Now, how many days does it take to become tahor?
Seven.
7 days. Okay? Now, if Yom HaShmini was Rosh Chodesh, then for sure they should have had an opportunity to become Tahor. If it was on the 8th of Nisan, then it's Gvuli. Okay? The 8th of Nisan, you know, basically 7 days from that is Tetvav Nisan. So they would have to get, I don't think it's possible, actually. No. I think you have to go to the mikvah.
Aren't it full yom when you bring the korban? You get there on the seventh day, but you have to wait till night?
I think so. And also, when was the kfura? We don't really know when the kfura was. There is a slight chance that you could still say that it was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and yet they were busy somehow with Nadav and Avihu for a week. That's possible. I don't know why they would be busy. I presume that whatever they had to do, they took care of it immediately. So this certainly supports the idea that it was actually on the 8th of Nisan. The truth is, though, that we basically paskin that it was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Does anybody know how we paskin that way? La halacha, we actually hold that the Mishkan was inaugurated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. How do I know?
Tachnun.
Yeah, because we don't say Tachnun in Nisan. Why don't we say Tachnun in Nisan? Because Rov of Nisan, we don't say Tachnun. Now, how do you get that? It only works if you say that you start from Rosh Chodesh Nisan and you have 12 days of the Nisiyim bringing Korbanot, plus the 7 days of Pesach is 19. If you start with the 8th day of Nisan, then that actually overlaps with Pesach, which is itself a problem, but that overlaps with Pesach and you end up only having 12 days, which is not a rov. So we pass on halacha that the Mishkan was inaugurated on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But okay. Nevertheless, this is Eilu Ve'eilu Dibrei Elokim Chayim. So, now, if we can assume that Mishael and Otzafan were the ones who were Tmeim LeNefesh Adam, and they were the ones who asked for a Pesach Sheni, Rav Sharki says, and I like the way he says, V'daf Kahem, Bimkom Lohorod Latzmam Halacha, Ulomar Latzmam B'Pashtut, Shemikivan Shem Tmeim Hem Pturim Hem Pesach, they said, look, either we should have an opportunity to do another Pesach, or we're definitely patur. They could have done that on their own. But instead, what did they do? They approached Moshe. This is actually it's one of the only two places that I can think of where anybody in the Torah approaches Moshe with a shayla. Where else do you have in the Torah that somebody in the text approaches Moshe with a shayla? The only one I can think of is the Benot Slofchad, who say the exact same thing, Lama Nigara, or Lama Yigara, they say. Is there anybody else?
What about Mokoshesh Etzim?
He doesn't ask a question. You mean that, well, the people come to Moshe to ask, the people come to Moshe to ask, what should we do with him? That's fair. But it's very rare that the Torah should record it. So why does the Torah record it? Because it was actually apparently important that they came to him. Bazeh Mishael v'Tzafan tiknu et chata'am shel Nadav v'Avihu. V'davka al yadam zachinu l'moed nosaf b'Torah, moed shel Pesach Sheni. Oto Pesach she'Torah lo tzivta alav milech b'chila, ela shehu pri tziratam shel Bnei Yisrael. L'chora zeh moed shekol mekoro b'ahachlata shel Bnei Yisrael shehem zkukim l'tosefek tusha. You see that Mishael and Tzafan are motivated by the same thing that Nadav and Avihu are motivated by, the Tosefet Kedusha. They want something good. Nadav and Avihu wanted something good. They wanted to get closer to Hashem. They wanted to bring an Eish in front of Hashem, but they did it wrong. they did it without receiving permission first, without speaking to Moshe and Aaron first. Mishael and Tzafan want the same thing. They want an opportunity to get closer to Hashem. And so the Yetzer Hara is to simply burst forth, to simply trample over any norms that might exist on the way to increasing Kedusha. But they don't do that. Instead, they approach Moshe and Aaron and request permission.
Apparently, they learned a lesson from their cousins, right?
Yeah, and that's his point. His point is that this is a tikkun. And perhaps they had this midah, they had this quality that maybe Moshe even saw in them, that though they were, you know, always passionate about Kedusha, they went about it in a more restrained fashion than Nadav and Avihu did. Lo biyuzma pratit, lo al yedei horat halacha bifnei rabo, ki im al yedei hityatzut im rabo. Kasher yesh rayon amiti lo yitachen shelo yavo alav tzivor min hashamayim. If there's a true idea, then it needs to receive the imprimatur of Hashem. El sheyesh reshit kol lefanot el Moshe vel Aaron, kach hu haseder, lefanot kodem kol el roshei ha'uma, mitoch kach mitchashim zormei kodesh chadashim ba'olam, ad kdei tosefet mitzvah petach sheni v'tosefet od mitzvot ba'olam. This is the way that new forms of Kedusha come into the world. They are inspired by let's say, the Hamonam, but then they're run by the roshei ha'uma, and that's how they get ratified. So you have grassroots organization, but they often need the guidance or the approval of those chachamim who are considered the leaders of Am Yisrael. So we saw three different approaches here for why Mishael and Tzafan are chosen. One is simply that they were close. Mishael and Tzafan were beloved cousins of Nadav and Avihu. The second, that Mishael and Tzafan were spiritual relatives, very close relatives of Aaron and Nadav and Avihu, and that they were all pursuers of peace. And the third, that Mishael and Tzafan actually had within them the ability and the inclination to fix and redeem what Nadav and Avihu did by pursuing Kedusha, but through the proper channels, innovating, but in the right way. All right. Thank you all for coming and staying. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you very much.